Hi guys, welcome to Technology Gazette episode 24, which has already been... Okay, right, so where were we? Episode 24, right, so finally I am back after what seems a lifetime of being offline. It's just the most annoying thing to be without the internet, without being able to record a podcast, which, you know, is just... been an absolute nightmare for me, but I am back and I'm so happy to be back. Right, okay, so yeah, let's get into some main tech news. Of course, we have been bugged by the whole thing of Microsoft and Yahoo. Getting on my nerves slightly, I don't know about anyone else in the chat room right now. But it's just been one of those things that's gone on and on and on and on, and when it finally finishes, it just, you know, it all comes together quite nicely with the fact that nothing happens. Microsoft walks away. And, you know, it was just a bit of a bizarre thing, really. And the first story I kind of got from MarketWatch.com was talking about how the Jet Set comments, thank the Lord. Yeah, I know, it's been an absolutely ridiculous thing. The first story I got from MarketWatch.com comments on the Yahoo stock, which I've been sort of looking at for the last couple of hours, and it's been sort of hovering about $22 mark. Of course, now when Microsoft was sort of putting its bid for Yahoo, it was obviously a lot higher, but, you know, we knew that it was going to fall a lot lower. And there's someone I was talking to actually on yesterday, who was actually thinking that Yahoo's stock would stay the same. Well, they were very naive to that matter, I think. I don't think we really saw it dropping as low as this, but a lot of people giving you different statistics about how low it's dropped. And some people are saying 14, some are saying 20. But whatever it is, Yahoo's stock has dropped. And Microsoft's, of course, you know, because they're the perfect person who's walked away from this deal, has gone up by 50%. You know, Microsoft need something. And I'm just checking live right now, actually, on Yahoo Finance about how the stock's doing. And Yahoo's has actually gone up slightly. They've gone to 24.39. And Microsoft is at $29.05, just gone up. And so, you know, we've got to really look at where this all went wrong for Yahoo, because there's been a lot of people sort of saying how Yahoo shouldn't really go with Microsoft. But at the end of the day, I made a blog post about this earlier, about the fact that Microsoft have pretty much been the only thing that Yahoo had going to have a sustainable business still. And, you know, I don't think that, however unfair it would have been for Microsoft to have bought out Yahoo, I think... Jerry Yang got it very wrong with what he did, and I think he should have accepted the offer. However bad it was, I think it would have been a much better option than it is for him now. He's got to answer to all these shareholders that have been, you know, trying to find out what Yahoo's major plan is for the next couple of years, and now it just seems as though it's all falling apart for Jerry Yang and his team. But then we take the other side of things. We see that, you know, Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, has also not done a perfect job. His, you know, task was to really go in and get Yahoo and then have this major dominance in online advertising. Supposedly, I use that in air quotes there. And, you know, I don't think Microsoft really knew what they were going to do with Yahoo if they bought them. But we won't dwell on this one too much. It's been far too well covered. So we'll move on to the next story. Okay, the next story is from news.yahoo.com. It's coincidental, we were just talking about Yahoo, moving on to a Yahoo news source. It's talking about the fact that a DMCA complaint has been filed against Google, and it's all about their open source Core AVC high definition video decoder. Now, I've seen this like a lot of times around the Google AdWords network, and I never realized that Google was part of this project, but... And yeah, this is a high-definition video decoder, which apparently has received a complaint, and they've had to take the open-source project out. And yeah, it's interesting thing is, you know, they've obviously complied with it. But this whole thing, I really want to understand more about what's going on with, you know, this whole complaint, because, you know, it's an open-source thing. It's, you know, I'd read more about it. It just basically, this article tells you all about, you know, what the whole system is. It's kind of a bit, you know, we don't really know much. And I'm reading further down here, I'm just clicking on a couple of links, and I just see that it's talking about the fact that the notice was issued because the project had engaged in reverse engineering without permission. So I don't know if this is whole thing about all these developers who are trying to get their own fair share of what they've done, and then maybe they're not happy with someone reverse engineering it, but we can't be sure of that. I mean, Linux has had a big problem with the fact that developers have to have their say in pretty much everything that goes on in a project, especially with Ubuntu, the Linux distribution, when that came out. And maybe it was about a year or two into it, I think, and the massive fund that they have, obviously, to fund the developers' activity. Everyone was calling into question who was going to get what, who was going to get the most, and then ended up having huge problems with it. So this is an interesting thing. Google's open source project is being taken down because of a DMCA complaint. Now, we're on to another interesting topic here. This kind of relates to the first one we were talking about, Yahoo and Microsoft. And this is just talking about from Seattle Pi, nwsource.com. Let me get that out right. Talking about what kind of bank balance these companies have these days, technology companies. And obviously Microsoft looks as though it's slumping a little. We know that they've got a pretty much failing division in Windows, and they're starting to lose a lot of money now. But there's this big comparison going on about the fact that Microsoft and Apple, you know, these two companies are very, very big in their own right. And, you know, it's just incredible. Just look at these images that are on seattlepi.com. And, yeah, I'll leave these in the show notes for people to have a look at. But, you know, just looking at it right now, I can see that this person, Todd Bishop's, gone ahead and looked through at various sources and found that Microsoft's cash balance is looking at about $26.3 billion, whereas Apple's is continuously on the rise and is currently, at the moment, according to figures, $19.4 billion. And the most incredible thing was the fact that I further scrolled down and I found more out about other companies. Now we look at them, and as it goes from top to bottom, we've got Microsoft at 26.3, Cisco at 22.7, Apple at 19.4, Google at 12.1. Now, you know, I thought that was going to be a bit bigger, but obviously not. And the most surprising thing was that IBM are actually behind Google. This is a big company that were involved in a lot of early stuff with computers, and Google has gone ahead of them by. And we go further down the list, and we get the infamous Yahoo. I'm just corrected here. That is $100,000. Thank you very much. I was just fishing for something there. we go further down, and we see that we got Yahoo. And Yahoo's currently, its cash balance, according to this, is $2.6 billion. Now, you know, if they're really saying that they don't need Microsoft, then what's this real problem that they're having right now? Is it, you know, what is it that they've got left? Because if they've only got $2.6 billion and the close people to them are Amazon, AMD, Adobe, Real Networks is only half a billion, and Salesforce is also half a billion. So, you know, they haven't really got much left for them, I don't think. And that's what I'm starting to think, is that, you know, Yahoo needed that money from Microsoft, however bad it would have been. They needed that money. And I think they're going to regret it so bad. And also, I think we'll be seeing Jerry Yang on his way before we know it. But I have no official source on that one, so I can't quite comment on that. So yeah, so that's an interesting thing. When you get a chance to look at the show notes, it'll give you an idea on how well the companies are doing. But the big thing is that Microsoft and Apple are, you know, Apple's closing the gap very well on Microsoft, and Microsoft is losing a lot of money. Okay, so the next story is from Engadget.com, and it's all about Nokia and how they're making a promise to their customers now that they'll start bringing more phones into the US. Now, obviously based in the UK, I'm not entirely sure on sort of what the carriers provide. I don't know what the sort of standard is for who produces what phone. But Nokia obviously haven't got a big presence in US, and they're promising more coming soon. And you know, I wondered which one was the most successful for them. Obviously, I think the N95 was probably their most successful one, and they obviously want to expand that even further, but, you know, I don't know what they're going to do next. It'll be interesting to see on that one. But Nokia are making a promise that they're going to bring more phones into the US. Okay, so the next story is from efluxmedia.com, and this is something I don't quite fully understand, but I'm very interested in. It's just all about Adobe Flash and how they're now starting to lift what they quote as restrictions here. It's kind of like licensing and stuff, and how it's all closed up, and now they're making it all open source. And now, obviously, we know that Microsoft have tried to do their own competitor with Silverlight, and it's just I don't really understand what they were trying to do with that software. You know, as far as I can tell, they're two very different aspects. They're two very different things. But you know, now Adobe's starting to come into open source, we're going to see further expandability of the platform. And yeah, the Jetso would like to just have a quick comment here. I'll just unmute him. Okay, go ahead.
Hey.
Hi there. Hey, how you doing?
It's not quite open source that they're doing. It's they're getting rid of major licensing fees and opening up to mobile devices.
Oh, okay, right. So do you think this is a good thing they're doing that then?
Yeah, it's a step closer towards open source, and I certainly think it will sort of bridge the divide between full internet on mobile phones and full internet on PCs.
Exactly, and this article, of course, talks more about sort of mobile platforms and stuff, and obviously Adobe's trying to go its own way, you know, as much as I think everyone's so desperate for the iPhone to have Flash on it, and obviously Apple's saying, no, we want to do our own thing, I think Adobe's going to really show Apple about the whole thing of how it's going to be better for it to use Flash on a mobile device.
It might not even be that Apple will officially sanction it, but Adobe will certainly probably
absolutely, yeah, that's a fantastic point. But yeah, it also sort of goes on this article to say about the fact that Adobe expect there to be over a billion handsets and mobile devices by 2009 that will have Flash Player inbuilt, which is a standard figure. And certainly it's such a recognised worldwide thing, and I certainly understand why they want to go and chase the mobile arena. But yeah, so...
Go ahead, I thought you'd finished,
please go ahead. We've now got a tech junkie joining us on Technology Exec, welcome. You've just catch us in the middle of a conversation about how Adobe's kind of planning to be quote open source with its Flash, and how it's planning to put it onto mobile devices. And just, you know, if you want to chime in with any thoughts on that, please feel free to call in. We've now got the Jet Set back. Does the Jet Set have anything to say before we move on? Okay, that's fine. We'll move on to the next story. So yeah, this is a good thing to see that Adobe's sort of trying to do open source, and just glad that more and more of these companies that have been so restrictive in everything have, you know, tried to be open source, and you know, it's going to be a lot better for the developers out there who want to get a hold of this software. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next story, and you know, not that it's really affected so many people, but after a fire that happened at the LG Chem or CHEM, and I wouldn't want to pronounce that wrong, and yeah, companies like Asus and Quanta were affected by this fire, which happened in where does it say it happened? I'm just reading down here. It doesn't say where it happened. I don't know if anyone could quote me on where that was. But obviously this affected a lot of companies, and it even affected the Asus EPC, which was the little tiny PC, which, you know, everyone loves. It's just a fantastic little device. It's Linux-based. But, yeah, apparently they could have sold a lot more. You know, I don't really know if they were telling the truth in this. I think they were just bluffing because of the fact that this helped them, really, with it. And, you know, so it's an interesting thing that they're saying that the battery shortage should end by Q3, so middle of the year-ish, I think, 2008. And again, quote me if I'm wrong on that one, because I wouldn't want to go ahead thinking that was right. So anyone who's going to buy an Asus EPC may find that they might have a slower time for delivery. But it's not going to affect many people too much, so yeah, that should end by Q3 of 2008, apparently. Now, the next subject is something that's quite interesting. It's all about the Nintendo Wii. Now, obviously, for those of you who don't know, had your head in the sand for the last year, this is the gaming device, which is the very interactive, very sort of, you know, stand up, and you use these two motion sensor controllers to do lots of different things. And so basically they're talking now about whether they should have alternative storage for the Wii. Now, the Nintendo Wii basically stores its stuff not via a hard drive like the 360, it stores it via a SD card. Now, you know, SD cards don't go too big these days, and at the same time I was thinking today, I just really don't want to see a big whopping great hard drive. And yeah, the Jet Sets just quoted me as saying no one knows what the Wii is. Well, I always like to be safe on these shows because I don't want anyone emailing me or asking me during the show what it is. I like to be very clear for people because, you know, I know there's stuff I don't know, and I'd love people to be clear about it, so I like to be fair to people. Okay, so anyway, so yeah, I was just talking about the fact of the alternative storage, which, you know, like I said, I don't want them to have a big hard drive next to it. They don't need it. It's the idea is it's a small device, fits in a very small area, and that's the whole simplicity of it. And to have something that's a lot bigger is going to be, you know, it's just one of those things. I can't really understand why they would do it like that. But, you know, so they've noted that a small amount of customers aren't happy with the current SD card. But, you know, I don't really think that they should look into doing anything external. Perhaps with the Wii 2, the next version of the Wii, then they might consider bringing in a built-in hard drive, maybe. But that's going to be, again, a problem with space. You know, it's just one of those things. I think they're sacrificing a lot of the really good design they had just for some space. The Jet Set sort of says a 2.5-inch hard drive would work, which is very true, actually, because, again, it's, you know, it's as small as the actual Wii, virtually. I don't know, I'm not sure the width of the actual console. And he also goes on to say that it makes it 4 to 5 DVD cases rather than 3. So, oh, I see, sorry. So, obviously, before the Nintendo Wii came out, Nintendo were quoted as saying that this is going to be the sort of space of a couple of DVDs, and, you know, this is, you know, a 2.5 may work, but what I think is so important about the Wii is the fact that you don't have that external storage. You have that simplistic design. It's very small, very manageable. I don't know, because to make it small and to have a hard drive in it would be quite a hard task for the people at Nintendo, so maybe an external hard drive would work. Family-friendly, yeah, well, that's a good point, actually. The Jet Set sort of puts the family-friendly kind of idea of it, which is very true. Okay, so we're just going to move on to our final story of this episode. Right, so this one kind of got me a little bit, and it's from publications.mediapost.com. And it's all about the fact that Amazon is going to sue New York for the fact that they were trying to tax them for being part of New York, apparently. Apparently, the affiliate network that they run, the Associates Program, was enough to get them. And the bill, apparently, was informally referred to as the Amazon tax. So that's an interesting way of putting it. But the US Supreme Court ruled in 1992 that states cannot require out-state retailers to collect sales tax unless they have a physical presence. So, of course, Amazon's argument is we don't have anything based, we're not associated with New York, so therefore we don't need to pay it. And, you know, Amazon's going to plan to sue them because they don't believe they were being fair. And I don't know whether... And then they also assert the fact that the bill violates its right to equal protection because it's been written with the goal of targeting the company. Now, that's an interesting, very bold statement for Amazon to make. I don't think it was quite targeting them, more as a sort of, you know, I don't know, it could have been, but I'm sure there's other companies that New York have probably gone after exactly the same, but Amazon just seems to be the big person trying to sort it out. But, you know, that's an interesting thing. I want to see what other companies kind of get affected by this, but as they have no physical presence, no, you know, anything in New York itself, then they shouldn't need to pay this. And if it gets to a point now where New York are demanding that even online people who even have associates in an affiliate program on in New York, then it just gets really, really sort of sketchy. You don't know what they're going to sort of get you for next. And so I think it's a bit weird. I don't know how Amazon's going to do with this. I'm sure that, you know, it seems logical that they would win this case, but if there's any law people out there, I'd love to know kind of a case against it, because I'm sure there's a very fair case, and I'd love to hear what you thought of that. But no, that was an interesting one. New York trying to get some internet tax out of Amazon.com. So we're going to wrap up today's episode, episode 24, which is for the 5th of May, 2008. Thanks for listening. Bye.